Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Thursday, March 30th, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Carlos Chavez.
Coming up, Christian Science Monitor reporter Jill Carroll, who was kidnapped about 3 months ago, was released today. In Oregon, a bill to speed up logging after fires and storms in the state's last ancient forests has won approval from the House Resources Committee. And the United Nations Security Council has issued a formal demand for Iran to stop its uranium enrichment efforts. Portland area weather today, cloudy, chance of showers later today, highs in the 50s tonight, showers, lows in the 40s.
A bill to speed up logging dead timber and planting new trees after storms and wildfires has won approval from a key U.S. House committee. The bipartisan bill demands that areas hit by disasters greater than 1,000 acres be restored quickly. Currently, environmental analysts can take a year or more and are often followed by lengthy appeals or court battles. The bill under consideration is sponsored by Oregon Republican Greg Walden and Washington Democrat Brian Beard. It would give the public land agencies 30 days after a catastrophe to come up with a plan, with a 90-day public comment period after that. Court action would be allowed thereafter. Environmentalists are fighting the measure. They say cutting large old trees and planting new ones results in forests that are more vulnerable to new fires and less valuable as habitat for fish and wildlife. The House Resources Committee approved the bill 25-13, with 6 Democrats joining 19 Republicans in favor. All 13 no votes were by Democrats.
A federal judge in Seattle has found that a Bush administration decision to ease logging restrictions under the Northwest Forest Plan was arbitrary and should be invalidated. U.S. Magistrate Judge Mary Alice Tyler made the recommendation in a report to the U.S. District Attorney, District Judge Ricardo Martinez, who will consider it and make a final ruling. The change was made in March of 2004 when the Bush administration dropped wording from the forest plan that required certain projects to be evaluated for how they would affect their watersheds before they could be approved. Tyler found that officials were required to give a rationale for the wording change and to explain why the change would not harm protected fish species, but didn't. Patty Goldman, a lawyer for the environmental group Earth Justice, says that if Tyler's findings are adopted, it could lead the way to irreversible damage to forests and watersheds. But Chris West, vice president of the American Forest Research Council, says the lack of a rationale for the wording change would be easy to fix.
Governor Ted Kulongoski said he will seek a federal disaster declaration if fishery managers shut down the 2006 salmon season off the Oregon and California coasts. According to the Oregonian, the move is widely anticipated next week. Fishermen came to Salem Tuesday to tell the governor how severe the unprecedented shutdown would be for the 1,200 salmon trawlers who fish from the Oregon ports. Many would lose their boats, while others might lose their lives going too far out to sea to fish for tuna to survive a season of salmon. Kulongoski asked federal and state officials to come to the hastily called summit to find help for the fishermen. In addition to seek disaster funds, he gave State Department heads until April 14th to come up with ideas to help the industry.
The Salem Statesman Journal reports that Martha Bennett, executive director of the Columbia River Gorge Commission, for the past 5 years, is leaving that agency May 10th to become city administrator of Ashland. The commission started in 1987 as a bi-state agency charged with protecting the scenic, cultural, and recreational resources of the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area. Under Bennett, the commission set policy for the nearly 300,000-acre area and tackled a wide scope of issues ranging from land use, air quality, to Measure 37. The Gorge Commission is looking for a new executive director and will discuss the possibility of naming an interim director at its next meeting on April 11th.
Interest in the GOP gubernatorial primary is running high in Oregon's natural resources community. Groups like Associated Oregon Loggers that don't usually endorse in the primary have done so this year, and others may follow suit. Farmers and ranchers have lost some key battles over the last few years, including battles over minimum wage. And loggers are frustrated with the state's participation in a lawsuit over the Bush administration's stance on roadless areas in national forests. So far, early endorsements from the logging group and the Oregonians for Food and Shelter, a farm, and timber and pesticides advocacy groups have gone to Portland attorney Ron Saxon. But State Senator Jason Atkinson of Jacksonville has been forming grassroots farm and ranch teams.
A federal judge in Oakland, California, has ordered the government to institute a Klamath River management plan immediately instead of waiting 5 more years. This means farmers could be deprived of irrigation if water levels drop low enough to threaten the survival of coho salmon. U.S. District Judge Sandra Armstrong in Oakland said that if the river levels fail to meet 100% of the water flow needed for the coho as determined by the National Marine Fisheries Service, then farmers who rely on the Klamath will have to do without.
The staff of a proposed alternative school has halted its attempt to place the program on the campus of Jefferson High School and will look for another location. The Academy of Character and Ethics, a non-religious program aimed at at-risk students, was proposed by Mount Olivet Baptist Church. The Reverend James Barton, the church's pastor, had been on the school's board but stepped down. He and church members have maintained a role in advocating for school, but concerns from Jefferson High School parents about religious issues entering the curriculum led the Academy staff to look elsewhere. The Academy staff said, if the Jefferson community doesn't want this, how can we go into the school? Kinney said. There was so much divisiveness in the community, which was sad because of the focus was on the kids from the Academy's perspective. In a letter to Vicki Phillips, Portland Schools Superintendent Martin said the Academy has decided to pursue other venues for implementing its school.
Federal authorities plan to take another look at cold criminal cases in Indian country to see if new investigative tools or forensic evidence might solve them. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, in a visit to the Yakima Indian Reservation, announced that the first cases to get new federal scrutiny will be at the Yakima Reservation. More than a dozen women were slain or disappeared there in the 1980s and early 90s in what some people speculated could have been the work of a serial killer. The cases remain unsolved. Under the new initiative, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Eastern Washington and the FBI will review the unsolved killings to determine if new investigative methods or advances could close them. Alberto Gonzalez, in a visit to a high school on the reservation, also spoke with students, urging them to avoid drugs, alcohol, and gangs. Then he took questions. The Attorney General will be in Portland today at the Marriott Waterfront Hotel, addressing the Portland Business Alliance at 7:30 this morning. Two fired New Orleans police officers and one current officer were indicted yesterday in the videotape beating of a retired teacher in the French Quarter last fall. The October 8th beating of Robert Davis was caught on video by an Associated Press television news crew covering the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. The three officers were charged with battery and other offenses. Davis spent more than an hour testifying about the beating, which left him lying in the street, hands cuffed and blood flowing from his head and face. Davis said he had returned to the storm-struck city to check on his property and was looking for a place to buy cigarettes in the French Quarter when police grabbed him. The videotape shows an officer hitting Davis at least four times on the head. Davis twisted and flailed as he was dragged to the ground by four officers, one of whom kneed him and punched him twice. District Attorney Eddie Jordan declined to say whether he showed the videotape to the grand jury, but he called it very important evidence. When asked if the false imprisonment charge meant that Davis should not have been arrested, Jordan said that it would be a fair inference. Officer Stuart Smith had ordered APTN producer Rich Matthews and the cameraman to stop recording when Matthews held up his credentials. The officer grabbed him, jabbed him in the stomach, and delivered a profanity-laced tirade.
A Senate committee approved a bill yesterday aimed at curbing a growing trend of Indian tribes building casinos away from their reservations. The bill, sponsored by John McCain, chairman of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, would change existing laws that allows tribes to build casinos off their reservations if they are approved by the Interior Secretary and the state's governor. The legislation was prompted by an increasing number of tribes who have sought more lucrative locations for their casinos, a trend some have dubbed reservation shopping. The vast majority of the nation's 400-plus tribal casinos, which brought in nearly $19 billion in 2004, were built on existing reservation land. As Indian casinos have boomed, tribes have looked beyond their borders for better locations. The legislation would eliminate off-reservation gambling for tribes with their own reservation land, but it does allow some tribes who have begun the application process to continue their efforts. Some Republicans have criticized that provision, saying it undermines the spirit of the bill.
Representative Cynthia McKinney and a police officer scuffled yesterday after the Georgia Democrat entered a House office building unrecognized and refused to stop when asked. McKinney struck the officer, according to one account. A police official said there were conflicting accounts. Capitol Police spokeswoman Sergeant Kimberly Schneider said only that senior officials have been made aware of the incident and are investigating. Members of Congress do not have to walk through metal detectors as they enter buildings on the Capitol complex. They wear lapel pins identifying themselves as members. McKinney routinely does not wear her pin because she's recognized by many officers. By one of police accounts, she walked around a metal detector and an officer asked her several times to stop. When she did not, the officer tried to stop her and she struck the officer.
House budget writers dropped President Bush's proposed cuts to hospitals and other Medicare providers yesterday, but preserved his plan to trim spending by most cabinet agencies. Budget Committee Chairman Jim Nussle fashioned a $2.8 trillion plan for the budget year beginning October 1st that omits Bush's cuts in Medicare, Medicaid, crop subsidies, and other politically sensitive programs. The House GOP plan for the 2007 budget year adopts Bush's $873 billion cap on agency budgets renewed by Congress each year. It also assumes just $50 billion for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, less than one half of expected spending for the current year. In a debate that headed toward the evening hours, Republicans swatted back attempts by Democrats to increase funding for port security and education and health programs as they approached party line approval of the GOP measure. Democrats blasted the Republican blueprint, which would produce a deficit of $348 billion in 2007 and deficits totaling more than $1 trillion through 2011 if Congress enacts its policies.
An American Muslim was sentenced yesterday to 30 years in prison for joining Al-Qaeda and plotting to assassinate President Bush. Prosecutors had asked for the maximum life sentence for Ahmed Omar Abu Ali, a 25-year-old U.S. citizen who was born to a Jordanian father and raised in Falls Church, Virginia. But U.S. District Judge Gerald Bruce Lee said 30 years was sufficient punishment. He compared the Abu Ali case to American Taliban John Walker Lind, who received a 20-year sentence.
The Pentagon stalled efforts to clean water supplies contaminated by a carcinogenic chemical, despite evidence that it posed a significant health risk to millions of people. It was reported yesterday. The Environmental Protection Agency investigated the solvent trichloroethylene, which is extensively used on military bases after significant quantities were found in water supplies. In its report published in 2001, the EPA found it to be 40 times more likely to cause cancer than had been previously thought and recommended tough safety standards to limit public exposure. There was also evidence the chemical played a role in birth defects.
A former federal prosecutor and a special agent with the State Department were charged yesterday with concealing evidence to win convictions against Muslim men in a terrorism case that was later tossed out. The indictment, returned by a grand jury in Detroit, where the case originated a week after September 11th attacks, charged that prosecutor Richard Convertino and State Department special agent Harry Smith conspired to withhold photographs of a Jordanian hospital they said was a target of the terror suspects.
Jack Abramoff, the disgraced lobbyist at the heart of a Washington influence peddling scandal that has rattled top Republicans, was sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison on Wednesday for fraud in the purchase of a Florida casino cruise line. Abramoff told a Miami court, "I am much chastened and profoundly remorseful. I can only hope that the Almighty and those whom I have wrongly have wronged will forgive me my trespasses." U.S. District Judge Paul Huck handed Abramoff and the co-defendant New York businessman Adam Kidan sentences of 5 years and 10 months in prison. They will be on probation for 3 years after their release.
Former Nixon counsel John Dean was announced as a witness before Friday's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on a resolution to censure President Bush, according to a press release sent by Senator Russ Feingold to Raw Story. Along with Dean, former Department of Justice Deputy Attorney General Bruce Fein will also be testifying. Although, while White House counsel, Dean played a major role in the Watergate scandal, he later became a star witness for the prosecution.
The United Nations Security Council yesterday issued a formal demand for Iran to drop its uranium enrichment efforts, which the West suspects is a cover for a nuclear weapons program. The statement passed unanimously called on the UN nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to report back in 30 days on Tehran's compliance, but did not make clear what the council would do if Iran refused to cooperate.
American reporter Jill Carroll was set free today, nearly 3 months after she was kidnapped by a bloody ambush that killed her translator. She said she had been treated well. Carroll was dropped off near the Iraqi Islamic Party offices. She walked inside, and people there called American officials. Carroll said in a brief interview on Baghdad television, "I was treated well, but I don't know why I was kidnapped." Even though the group threatened twice in videotapes to kill her, Carroll said, "They never hit me. They never even threatened to hit me."
Jamaica's first woman prime minister takes office today, pledging to tackle a crime rate that has made the Caribbean island one of the most dangerous places in the world. Portia Simpson Miller, a longtime parliament member who represented some of Jamaica's poorest neighborhoods, faces high expectations for changes as she succeeds PJ Patterson, who stepped down as prime minister after 14 years on the job. Simpson Miller, known as Sister P, beat three opponents to take over leadership of the ruling People's National Party last month. Patterson had led his party to three consecutive election victories, the most recent in 2002, but his administration was dogged by corruption allegations, a lagging economy, and a homicide rate 10 times that of the United States. Jamaica's crime mostly afflicts impoverished neighborhoods around the capital of Kingston, far from the popular tourist resorts on the north and west coasts.
The German magazine Cicero reports in its latest edition that Saudi Arabia is working secretly on a nuclear program with help from Pakistani experts. The report cites Western security sources and says that during the Hajj pilgrimages to Mecca in 2003 through 2005, Pakistani scientists posed as pilgrims to come to Saudi Arabia. Between October 2004 and January 2005, some of them took the opportunity to disappear from their hotel rooms, sometimes for up to 3 weeks. According to Western Security Services, Saudi scientists have been working in nuke-packing Pakistan since the mid-1990s.
A son of Cali cartel drug lord Miguel Rodriguez Orejuela, who has already agreed to testify against his father in a U.S. court, was sentenced to nearly 22 years in a federal prison yesterday for his own role in the once-powerful Colombian cocaine ring. William Rodriguez Abadia had faced up to life in prison for what prosecutors described as his involvement in a wide-ranging cocaine importation conspiracy that existed from 1990 to July 2002. But U.S. District Court Judge Federico Moreno sentenced Rodriguez Abadia to 21 years and 8 months after he formally agreed earlier this month to testify against his father and uncle, Gilberto Rodriguez Orejuela. The Orejuela brothers, the Cali Cartel's founders, are being held in solitary confinement at the Miami Federal Detention Center and face a high-profile trial in September. This according to Reuters.
President Bush reiterated yesterday that the United States would provide no aid to a Palestinian government headed by Hamas unless the group changes its extremist policies towards Israel as a new government formally took power in the Palestinian territories. Bush said in remarks to Freedom House, an independent organization that promotes democracy worldwide, "We support the election process, we support democracy, but that doesn't mean we have to support governments that get elected as a result of democracy," said Bush. The United States, the European Union, and other countries, including Canada, yesterday said they're cutting off aid to the Palestinian government until Hamas changes its policies. As a condition of dealing with Hamas, the U.S. and its allies want it to agree to the recognition of Israel, renunciation of terrorism, and acceptance of international commitments made by the Palestinian Authority.
This has been the Cable Morning News for Thursday, March 30th, 2006. Chris Andre edited the news, Cable's volunteer audio engineers edited the tape, and Cable's intrepid reporters contributed local stories. Kathleen Stevenson is the AM News and Public Affairs Director. Boone Revis is on the board right now. I'm Carlos Chavez.
I'm Chris Andre, and I would just like to mention to listeners that we would like to have a pledge from someone out there. We need to have the phones ring just a little bit. We've got a lot of people here at the station who put the news together, who engineer, who do the research, who do the editing, who read the news, like Carlos and I. We've got people in the back room waiting to answer the phones, and we have Joe Uris and Abe Proctor, two of KBOO's really popular chat show hosts. Everybody's waiting for you to make the decision, make the call. Call us 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-5266. You can do it. Let's make the phones ring.
We welcome your participation also. To volunteer, call us at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or you can reach us by email at amnews@kboo, or drop by the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. The KBOO website is www.kboo.fm. We clear the air at 90.7 FM Portland, 100.7 FM Corvallis on translator K264AA, 91.9 FM in Hood River on translator K220HR. Be sure to join us at 5 p.m. for a solid hour of solid news on the KBOO Evening News.